Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Tonight we're not going to do any review. We've talked about the first three chapters. We're getting a new section tonight. We've talked about in Deuteronomy 1, 2, and 3 the history. And so we're not going to talk any more about that. We're going to move on. We've looked at some very important truths, and I hope it's been a help to you. We've kind of looked back, and that's exactly what Moses was doing here. He looked back, and he talked about, as he rehearsed the history of the children of Israel, he said, now it's time to move forward. We've looked into the past, and now we're going to look into the present. And so he goes from history to holiness. And he's saying, you know what? You're getting ready to possess the land. And he said, as you possess the land, it's very important that you understand that God has expectations of you. And so I'm going to talk to you about those expectations. Because the expectations that God had for the children of Israel as they went in to possess the land of promise, which was Canaan's land, God has similar expectations for you and I. God has expectations of people. You know, we live in a society that doesn't seem to get that. Even among folks who attend church regularly, it's almost like people just live their lives as if to say, well, you know, I'm living my life apart from what God expects. Well, I wouldn't recommend that. I think it's very important to see what God says in His Word and then heed what God has said. So what I'd like to ask you to do is stand to your feet, and we're going to read the first nine verses. The first nine verses of Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should go, or that you should do so, in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so high or nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them, thy sons and thy sons' sons. And then we'll end our reading there. He begins to talk about the time, and we'll pick up here next week, the Lord willing, that God called the children of Israel around Mount Sinai and Horeb and gave the Ten Commandments. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for this passage of Scripture and the truths that are therein, and I thank you for the truth that you've laid upon my heart. And God, I need your help to take the truths that you've placed in my heart and deliver them to the people. And so I pray that you would help me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray you'd fill the people with your Spirit, that they would be Spirit-filled listeners and hearers and be Spirit-filled doers of thy word. Help us not to take for granted your word or to take lightly what thus saith the Lord, but help us to receive your word in a way that is honorable. Lord, I pray that as we receive your word, that we would be doers of your word and keep the commandments that you give us, that we may live and have the victory that you desire for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Here in chapter 4, there's three things that I'd like for you to record, and we'll go back and pick up on. The first thing I want you to record is God has spoken. And since God has spoken, then we need to hear and obey him. And we'll talk about that. And then the second thing is God is holy. And because God is holy, we should fear him. And then the third thing, God is wise. And because God is wise, we should learn from him. These are just the three simple things that I want us to see, but they're not simple in the fact that they deal with God and his character. And so I want to talk to you about these things tonight. The first thing I want you to notice in verse number 1 is Moses said, "Now therefore, hearken." It's a very interesting word there. Hearken. It means give close attention. Pay attention. Beware. Beware of what I'm getting ready to say. Be observant. Hearken. Listen intently, because what I'm getting ready to say is going to either make or break the way that you live your life for God. See, brethren, there's a lot of people that know God. There's a lot of people, even in our day, that are saved, but their lives are spinning out of control. They have no peace. They have no joy. The fruit of the Spirit is not evidenced in their life. They have absolutely no direction, no purpose. Why is that? Why is it that you meet some Christians who are full of joy and peace, that love God and honor God, and other people that seem miserable all the time? They're always complaining and murmuring. It's the commandments. It's the ordinances. You see, God gave his ordinances not to restrain us. God gave his ordinances because he loves us. Amen. It's like God saying, "Listen, I don't want you to hurt yourself, so don't do this. Or I want you to be fulfilled, so do this." And so we have to approach God's commandments and God's ordinances that way. I heard a man say many years ago, God's ordinances show that he loves us. Our obedience to his ordinances show that we love him. And so it's very important that we understand that. If we feel that we can live a halfway, half-committed, hot and cold, lukewarm type life, and that God is going to be pleased with that, and we're going to experience all that God has for us in life, we've mistaken. We've mistaken both God and what God has for us. And so the first thing that Moses gets into here after he said, "Listen, as we look back at the history," he said, "I hope that you, as I was rehearsing that history to you, that you were paying close attention and that you were listening to the mistakes that were made, and that you were determining in your heart by the grace of God that you were going to do differently. You are not going to follow in the footsteps of your fathers." And so he said in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he said, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them." You know, if you go through this fourth chapter, and I'm going to do it just to kind of point out this word, hear, heard, hearken is used over and over again. Now, I don't know how many times that the word hear or hearken or heard is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, but I have read that it's nearly 100 times. Don't know that? I haven't counted them. If you want to get the concordance out and count them and let me know, well, we'll see how close to 100 it is. It may be over 100. It's a lot. It just in this chapter, look at it if you would. In verse number 1, therefore hearken. Look in verse number 6. Right in the middle of the verse, it said, which shall hear all these statutes. In verse number 9, look if you would in verse number 9, only take heed. That's a very interesting word too. Listen with the intention of doing. Then he said this in verse number 10. He said, and I will make them hear my words. This is God speaking when he said, gather the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. God said, I want you to hear what I'm saying so that it can change your life, but not just your life, so it can change the lives of your children. And I'm going to come back to that thought in a moment. Verse number 12, right in the middle of the verse, ye heard the voice of the words. And again, it's speaking about when God spoke to the children of Israel on the Mount Horeb. And then verse number 15, take ye therefore good heed. Verse number 23, take heed unto yourselves. Verse number 30, the latter part of verse number 30 says, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. In other words, what he is saying or what you are hearing. Verse number 32, or hath been heard like it. Again, speaking of the voice of God, he said, how blessed are you that God has spoken to you. Brethren, think about that for a moment. The God of heaven has spoken to us. And if we're not careful, we'll get so busy with this thing called life that God has given us as a gift that we won't even allow what he has spoken to change us. We won't even read to see what he has said. God has spoken. Don't let the devil keep you from hearing what God has spoken. And that isn't that what he's trying to do? He tries to keep us away from God's word. We can make every excuse. Listen, we can fill up books with excuses, but there is no excuse not to read the Bible. I've seen people that couldn't read, that they wanted to know what God's word said so much, they would buy CDs or DVDs. I remember Steve Butler. Over and again, he would play those DVDs and he would testify how many times he'd read through 12, 15, 20 times through the Bible in a year. A man who couldn't even hardly read, but he would listen and watch that DVD as the words came up on the screen because he had a hungering and a thirsting for the Word of God. I wonder if I hunger and thirst to hear and to read and to know what God says. Look, if you would, in verse number 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as thou hast heard and live? And then verse number 36, out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice. Again, right toward the end of verse 36, and thou heardest his words. Chapter 5, and we're not going to go any further than this, but in verse number 1, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgment which I speak in your ears this day. So God said it's very important that you hear. Now, I've spent 3 Sunday mornings talking about the importance of not just being hearers of the word, but being doers. But we need, there is an important, the Bible says we ought to be swift to hear, right? We ought to put ourselves in every situation possible where we can hear the word of God. Swift to hear. So when that's talking about anything, God doesn't want you to be swift to hear just anything. There's some things God doesn't want us to hear. Amen. When you read the context of that scripture, and I'm not going to re-preach it, it's swift to hear the word of God. Swift to hear. Put yourself in a position where you can hear and take in the word of God. It's the word of God that will change our lives. It's the word of God that will feed our souls. It's the word of God that will give us guidance and direction and wisdom in life. And so here, if we go back to chapter 4 and verse number 1, he said, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Now, there's 2 purposes in this verse that Moses said you need to hear and do the word of God. Now, there's many purposes in the Bible, but there's 2 in this verse. Look at them. Number 1, he said, that you may live. That you may live. In other words, that you may find fulfillment. It's not talking about just the quantity of life in that word, but the quality of life. That you may live the life that God has purposed for your life. That there may be fulfillment. That we might live a life that would honor and glorify God. Because that's what brings resolve in our souls. And so he said, hear, hearken what I teach to you. And he said, to do that I teach you, that you may live. And then he said, there's another reason. He said, that you may, and look at it in verse 1, that you may go in and possess the land which the Lord your God, the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Now that land was a symbol of an inheritance, but it's also a symbol of victory. And he said, you want to live the victorious Christian life? That's what Canaan's land is a symbol of. You want to live victorious. You want to get out of the wilderness and get into Canaan's land, the land that flows with milk and honey. The victorious Christian life, you're going to have to hear. And you're going to have to do. And that's what I'm going to have to do. That's what God's people are going to have to do. You don't just get saved and automatically become victorious. Right? There's things that must be done. There's instruction that must be followed. And so I press upon your heart. Hear God's word. Do God's word. I'm not talking about a part-time job. I'm talking about full-time. Amen. All day, every day, all the time. Amen. Say, preacher, what would happen if I don't? Well, we'll see. I'm going to let God tell us. God will tell us. So he said, number one, he said, God has spoken. You need to know what God has said. You can't do what God has said if you don't know what God has said. And so he said, put yourself in a place. Can I encourage you? Have a time every day that you have set aside for your Bible reading. You say, well, preacher, I can't do that. Well, now, you know what? Is it you can't do it or you won't? I don't know. I don't know your schedule. But if you're too busy to read the Bible, you're too busy. And you need to cut something out of your schedule. Amen. And so I want to encourage you now. Read the Bible every day. Read the Word of God every day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'd like to show you something here that I think is just very important. He said, hearken, hear. Well, what is he saying here? He's saying that there's a, I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. There's a verse there that it's really, it speaks to me and it challenges me. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I've shown you this before and I'd like to show it to you again because I want us to get the full grasp of what God is telling us here. In 1 Thessalonians, I don't know if my monitor's, am I loud out there? Okay, turn my monitor down a little bit if you would, please. Thank you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, look if you would in verse number 13. For this cause also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, there's two times in this verse that the word received is used. He's basically saying, you receive the word of God, you receive the word of God. It sounds like he's repeating himself, but that's not what he's doing at all. He's saying, when the word came across the mechanism of your inner ear, you heard it. You received it because it moved across your ear. God enabled you through his creation to hear his word. Aren't you glad that you can hear? Amen. And he said, so you received it. All right, you see that? That's the first time. In verse number 13, he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received in your ear the word of God, you didn't just receive it in your ear as it was of the word of a man, but you received it as it is in truth. In other words, you received it in your heart. God's word went beyond your ear. God's word went down in your heart. And you know what happens when God's word makes it beyond our ear, down into our heart? Look at the latter part of verse number 13. It goes to work in our lives. He said, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, when we don't just hear and we take what we do hear and we say, God, now help me by your Holy Spirit to live what I've heard, to do what I've heard, then change begins to happen in our life. I think sometimes folks just think, well, you know what, I'm going to go to church and my life's going to change. Well, not necessarily. You can be miserable out of church. You can be miserable in church. You can sit on a church chair miserable. Somebody say amen with me. And listen, you can remain ignorant to God's word out of church and you can remain ignorant to God's word in church. It's not just enough to hear God's word. It's not just enough to know God's word. We must do God's word if we're going to see change in our lives. And so as we go back to Deuteronomy, this is exactly what Moses is saying to the children of Israel. God has spoken. Hear what he says. And then in verse number 1, he said, not only hear and hearken, but he said, I'm going to teach them to you. Why? So you'll know them? No, so you'll do them. Isn't that what he said? He said, that I teach, in verse number 1, those statutes and judgments which I teach you. And he said, I'm teaching those to you not just so you can know what God has said, but so you can do what God has said. Brethren, I want to do God's word. And I believe you want to do God's word. But there's an enemy, and there's a ploy that'll try to keep us away from hearing, first of all, and then when we hear, from doing. Let's do what we know to do. That's the way to have blessing on our life. Then he said this. He said, if you do that, you can live. There'll be fulfillment and purpose in life. And then he said, you can possess that land. You can inherit the promises of God. You can get God's best for your life. God said, I don't want you in the wilderness. That's not, listen, God said, I'll take care of you there. God took care of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Oh, they murmured and complained. Right? They just stumbled around. They were going in circles. Say, preacher, sometimes I feel like my life's going in circles. Well, I think we all been there, but life doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. There's victory, brethren. There's victory in serving God. And so he said in verse number 1, he said, God has spoken. God has spoken. And he said, listen to what he has to say and do it. Then he said in verse number 2, he said, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. I tell you, this is a very serious verse of scripture right here. We're seeing a lot of people changing God's word today. And brethren, I got to tell you, it take a brazen man or woman to say, I'm going to change God's word to say what I want it to say. So that's the reason there's a lot of these weak, watered down translations out there. It's because they want the word of God to fit their lifestyle. Listen, we're not to change God's word. God's word is to change us. Amen. I like it strong and straight, just like the way God gave it. I don't like this watered down stuff. Amen. And so he said, listen, this is a warning here. There's also the warning in Proverbs 30, verse 6. Write it down, the same warning. You know the warning in the Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. He said, listen, don't you add or take away from the words of this prophecy. If you do, he said, I'm going to add the plagues of this book to you. There's consequences for trying to change God's word to say what you want it to say instead of what God said. Is that right, brethren? Amen. We have to be cautious. We have to be cautious. And so he said, you shall not. This is not a suggestion. You shall not. Brother, would you turn this down, please? I think this is where it just seems it's not even on. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let's see if this is going to work. You have to turn it on for it to work? Okay. Amen. Thank you. I thought I had it on. I knew something wasn't right. And I was trying to blame it on someone, but it all comes back to me again. Man, see, I can't get by with anything. Okay, verse 2, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught or take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. In other words, do what God said. Don't be trying to change what God said to fit you. Just do what God says and it'll change you. We just live in a day where people are trying to change God's word, water it down, make it say what they want it to say. Brethren, I just pray that God would help me and God would help you and God would help us just to take God's word at face value. And God, give us the wherewithal to do what you've said to do and to be obedient to the revealed word of God. You know, this is not just new to our day. This has always been going on. Now, here's God way back in the book of Deuteronomy saying, don't change my word. This goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Where Satan tried, you know, he changed God's word and Eve bought into it. And we talked a little bit about that Sunday as well. But I want you just to see what changing God's word does. All right, I want you to think with me just for a moment about two groups of people in the life and times of the Lord Jesus Christ who changed God's word. One was on
one side and one was on the other. You had the Pharisees, all right? The Pharisees were adding to God's word. They had a bunch of rules and regulations. They had a bunch of traditions. And they were saying, you know what, when you wash your hands, you know, you have to hold your hands up and let the water run down. And, I mean, they had all kinds of things. And they would follow Jesus and his disciples around. They'd say, you know, you're not doing this and this. And it was just traditions of men. And when you read that scathing message that Jesus gave them in Matthew 23, you'll see that many of the things that he was scathing them for is adding to his word. Now, that's where legalism comes in. When people begin to add to the word of God, if we're not careful, it'll make us Pharisees. Are you listening? You say, well, not me, preacher. Well, not, then be careful about adding to the word of God. God's word's good enough. He doesn't need our help. Amen. We don't need to be adding to God's word. That makes people legalists. And then they were the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were taken from God's word. They didn't believe in the spirit world. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection, you know? And so they were liberals. So you had your legalists and the Pharisees and your liberals and the Sadducees. Can I tell you, they're still around. They're still around today. You still got these two groups. Some are adding and say, well, you know, and they just make up their own rules and their own laws. And they say, well, you know what? If you wear glasses that are wire-rimmed glasses, you're not right with God. I'm going to need a chapter and verse for that. Amen. Well, you know, if you're a preacher and you wear colored shirts, you're backslid. Oh, whatever. That's silliness. That's silly stuff. I want to know what the book says. Amen. I want to know what the Bible says. Now listen, I'm not opposed to preferences. I'm not opposed to preferences. There's just some things that the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You say, does the Bible say that? Sure does. I think it's Romans 15, verse 4. 5, 6, somewhere in there. Yeah. And so there's just some things you need to be, and I need to be fully persuaded in my own mind. But I'm not going to preach it as conviction now. No. Now, we ought to have convictions. We heard a good message on that Sunday night. Ought to have conviction. Pastor David done a great job talking about conviction, how important it is. And so he said, now don't be taken away from the word. And don't be adding to the word. Just obey God's word. Amen. Just read it and obey it. And so he said, if you'll do that, then you'll live. You'll have victory. Number two. Not only has God has spoken, we need to hear and obey him, but God is holy. We need to fear him. Look, if you would, in verse 3 and 4. I'm not going to go too much in detail with this because I'm eager to get to my final point. In verse 3 and 4 says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. Have you read what the Lord did at Baal-peor? You know anything at all about this? I'm telling you, it's a serious business. 24,000 people lost their lives at Baal-peor. You can read about it, and when I mention some of the characters involved, you can say, oh yeah, I've heard that story. You can read about it in Numbers chapter 22, 23, 24, and 25. There was a king in Moab by the name of Balak. And he said, you know what? He said, I want to find me a prophet for hire. And so he went out, and he sent some men out, and they brought back, and they said, well, you know what? We found one. His name is Balaam. That name sounds familiar, doesn't it? And you know what happened? Balak said, you know what? We've heard about these people that are just reaping havoc on all these countries around us, and we got to put a stop to this group. He said, sooner or later, they're coming after us. He said, I want you to curse them. And every time Balaam tried to curse them, God blessed them. Amen. Yeah, read about it. And so then they concocted a plan that, well, it wasn't about fighting and cursing. It was about friendship and compromise. You know, if the devil can't curse you to cause you to quit and fight you to cause you to quit, he'll be a friend to you and compromise. He'll get you that way. You know what the children of Israel did? The men went down to one of their worship services. Read about it. Numbers 25, and they committed whoredoms with the Midianitish women. Oh, listen, you be careful. Not everything in the name of church and worship is church and worship. You be careful, real careful, about some of this stuff that is coined worship and praise. Be careful. Not everything that has the name worship on it is worthy of worship. And so they invited them over to worship, read it in Numbers 25, their gods. We've seen a little bit of that going on Sunday night. I didn't see it, don't want to see it. Worshiping their gods. That's right. Listen, I'm not even going to get on that. I just, if you don't have any more of what it takes in you to know that rap music is of the devil, you're in a bad place in your life. Rap music's of the devil, brethren. I like rap music. There's something wrong in your spirit. There's something wrong in your spirit. You need to check up on that now. Listen, it's not just rap music. This worldly music, brethren, I'm telling you now, it's not of God. And you start listening to some of that stuff, it won't be too long you'll be doing some of that stuff. They coerced this crowd down to come and sacrifice. Read it. Sacrifice with them. And it ended up costing many of them their lives. 24,000 of them. And so here, what is verse 3 and 4 teaching me and teaching you? Look at it. He said, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. And all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. See, God's serious about sin. There's a lot of people not serious about sin. I want to become more serious about sin, not less serious about sin. Sin devastates people's lives, brethren. Sin takes, sin robs. And we need to understand this, that God doesn't take sin lightly like a lot of preachers or Christians do. God takes sin very serious because he knows the consequences of sin. And I pray to God that you and I would know it too. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. And so he said, you need to fear the Lord. He's holy. I want to give you a few verses of scripture for us Baptists. This is for the Baptist folks. 2 Corinthians 7:1. You say, well, I'm a Baptist. I'm proud to be a Baptist. Thank God. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brethren. Some Baptists don't like preaching on holiness. We'll let the Pentecostals and the holiness do that, preacher. No, that's the Bible. We're going to preach the Bible. Amen? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Did you get that? Not just the flesh, of the spirit. Not just our actions, our attitudes. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Brethren, God called me to live a holy life. God called you to live a holy life. God didn't just save us to live as we want to. God saved us to live like he commands us to. And then thirdly, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because he which hath called you is holy hath said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So God expects us to be holy. Number one, God has spoken. Hear him. Obey him. Number two, God is holy. Fear him. And then number three, God is wise. Learn from him. You know, we would never say it, but some of us think, you know, I know better than God. And we don't say it with our mouth, we do it with our actions. And so I just want to give you a few things, and this is where we'll pick up. Our time is up, but I want to give you a few things, and I hope you'll really concentrate on these things. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Behold, I have taught you the statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise, a wise and understanding people. See, God is a wise God. And he gives us wisdom. Now, wisdom has something to do with character. Because what wisdom does is wisdom helps us to take knowledge and use it rightly. That's what wisdom does. And so he said, I want you to listen to what God has said and get his wisdom in the matter so you can do what God said the way he said do it. See, there's folks that are living today and in this day who's just saying, well, you know what, I heard what God said. I think I'm going to do it, but I'm going to put my little twist on it. No, God said, I want you to do it exactly the way I said do it. That's where wisdom comes in. So learn from him. Do what God said do, not close to it or a part of it. Do it the way God said do it, right? There's a part of us as human beings that think, well, you know what, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it this way. Not do it the way God said do it. Amen. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach, he said, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. I want to talk to you about three things here, and I'm just going to mention two of them, then I'm going to elaborate on the third. Number one, since God is wise, here's what the scripture says right here that we should do. It'll guarantee success in life. Look, if you would, in verse number 5, he said, I want you to those things that I taught you and those judgments, he said, as I've commanded you, he said, when you get into that land and possess it, he said, it's going to help you a great deal. You do what I said, and when you get in that land, it's going to really help you. I want you to live the way that I said live when you get in that land. Now, God has a purpose for that. You say, why would God do that? He said, because people's watching you. Look what he said. He said in verse number 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. He said, they're going to be watching you when you go in. And I want them to wonder where you got that wisdom and where you got those commandments. I want them to see that the God of heaven is the God they need to be serving. Now, brethren, I believe in confrontational soul winning. I believe in confrontational witnessing. I believe you ought to walk up to people and confront them and ask them. But I believe that the testimony that we give, the witness that we give with our life, backs up what we tell with our lips. And so this is what God is saying. You have to live a certain way in order to be taken seriously. And so he said, I want you to do what I said do so that the people that are around that are watching your life. You say, well, nobody's watching my life, preacher. Oh, yes, they are. Oh, yes, they are. They're watching us. They're watching us. And that brings me to my final point. Teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. What are you teaching your children? Pray to God that every father in this congregation has family altar with your children. What do we think? I mean, where are we in society? We would never say, well, I think that I can do this without God. But if you don't pray and read your Bible and seek God's guidance, you're saying it with your actions. I'm not being hard here. I'm just being straight with you. I know people that would go to war over taking prayer and Bible reading out of school. Can I tell you something? Long before it was taken out of school, it was taken out of our homes. You listening? I don't like it. They don't have Bible reading. They don't have prayer in the Senate no more. Long before it was taken out of the Senate and out of the House and out of our government, it was taken out of our homes, brethren. You listening? We want to argue and fight with the results. We need to get to the source of the problem. The source is the problem. We've had men who quit being spiritual leaders in their home. Amen. Be a spiritual leader. The same group of folks that say, as the homes go, so goes the nation, would stand up and say, well, I don't believe that. I believe you could have Bible reading and you could train your children right and our country would still be in a mess. I don't believe that. I believe as the home goes, so goes the church. And as the home and church goes, so goes the nation. So we want to take the responsibility off of us. It's easy to point to some congressman up in Washington. Listen, they're about as corrupt as they come. And so I'm not certainly not taking their side tonight. And then we've got more liberal teachers teaching in our school systems than ever has been. But instead of fighting and fussing and arguing over, you know, they ought to teach this in school and they ought to pray in school and we need to get prayer back in Congress. And boy, if up there in Washington, they'd just get the Bible. Well, you know what? Get in the Bible in your home. So last time you called your family around the table in the living room or somewhere and said, we're going to break open the Word tonight. Listen, brethren, I wouldn't send my children out in this cold, cruel world without at least sharing a verse or two of Scripture and having prayer with them. And I want to say something to you. I failed in this area sometimes too. My wife's sitting right there and she'll tell you we had family devotions. My children tell you that we've got some sitting in here now. We had family devotions. It was one of the hardest things that I ever had to combat in my home. The devil fought me tooth and nail. But by the grace of God, I was determined. I'm not giving up on this because I'm not letting the devil have my children. I'm not going to turn my children out to this old wicked world without some wisdom from the Word. Amen. So, well, preacher, I'm not doing that. Can I encourage you to start? Can I encourage you to start? It's never too late. Open up the Word. Break open the book. Teach your children what thus saith the Lord. Ain't that what the Bible said? Look at it one more time there in verse number 9. He said, take heed to thyself now. You listening? Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. You'll forget what's important in life. Signing your kid up for youth league ball's not that important. Getting them around the Word of God every night is. Amen. So you against youth league ball? Not at all. Till it becomes an idol in someone's life, and then I'm really against it. So, well, my children play youth league ball. Well, I'm not picking on your children. Amen. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just saying we need to get our priorities in our churches, in our country straight. Amen. We need, as men, I'm talking to the men of this congregation tonight, be the spiritual leaders of your home. Break open this book and say, this book right here is going to be the guideline of this family by the grace of God. Amen. So I don't have a husband, preacher. Well, then you break open the book. Provide some spiritual nourishment for your family. Got any scripture for that, preacher? There's a lot, but I'm going to close with this one, verse number 9. Look at the last part there. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. See the way verse number 10 starts? Especially. I want you to go home and read that. He begins to talk to them about experiences. You ought to have some encounters with God that you can share with your children. And it ought not be, well, you know, we had a church fight over here and we had a church split over there and I had to tell this preacher off and we had to vote this deacon out. Enough of that stuff. Enough of that. Quit telling your children all the negative things about what happened in your life at church. Some of the most positive things that's ever happened in my life happened in the house of God. And I understand people, listen, I understand people have bad experiences in church. I get it. But you be cautious what you share with your little children about church. You break open that book and you tell them what thus saith the Lord. And you tell them what a blessing it is to have a good, godly church family and a place where you can go and worship and exercise your spiritual gift and get your soul fed. Teach them to your children and your children's children. Isn't that what the Word says, brethren? Teach some things to your children. Not just verbally, but tell them. Let me tell you how God answered prayer. You were sick one time, and you were burning up on your brow with fever. And son, we took you and we prayed over you, and God heard our prayer. And He healed you that night. There's a time we were doing without. And we got on our face before the God of heaven and called out into His holy name, and God supplied the need before the sun went down the next day. See, share those things with your children. Break open the book and tell them what God can do. Amen. Teach them. Let's stand to our feet.